General Michael Flynn is here with us, former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, former national security advisor to President Trump, someone attacked and demonized by the globalists. You're here with us. This is unfiltered. Millions are going to watch this at this critical juncture for our republic. We really appreciate you taking time out on the eve of Trump's big speech tomorrow. Thank you so much, General, for being with us. What is your call to the American people right now?
Well, my big message is that the truth is going to come out. Donald Trump will continue to be the president of the United States for the next 4 years. There's no doubt in my mind. When I'm asked on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the scale that you put that Trump will be the next president, I say 10, without a doubt. That is the truth. Everybody in this country, everybody in the world knows that this election on the 3rd of November was a total ripoff. It was a fraudulent election. We have had foreign interference from multiple countries. I'll rattle them off here if you want to get into that. And Donald Trump was the clear winner. For the next 4 days after the 3rd of November, from about the 4th through the 7th, 8th of November, they just started stuffing the ballot boxes, and everybody knows it, and they got caught. They got caught with their hands in the proverbial cookie jar, so that's where we are.
Just like they got caught on Russiagate, just like
everything,
they got...
Everything.
Russiagate, so you got the floor, General. Lay it out for people what really happened.
Yeah, so in terms of the election, what we know is that the election was won by Donald Trump that night. Approximately 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, 80 to 90% of the precincts in nationwide, Trump won hands down. And then all of a sudden we had this very, very uncertain, you know, everything stops. We've never had that in our country, in our presidential election. So 5 states shut down. Joe Biden goes to bed. I mean, he probably never came out of the basement. And so then what happened was they, being the Democratic machine, realized that the algorithms that they put into these Dominion machines and these what's called ESNS, which is electronic security systems, 95% of the electronic voting done in this country is done by those two systems, Dominion and ESNS. Okay, the majority of people in this country don't even realize that those machines are and the companies behind them are partially owned by the Chinese Communist Party.
And you said that months ago. Yeah. Now it was confirmed. I saw today that Congress has proven they're connecting.
Chinese Communist Party connecting to China. The
Chinese
Party paid $200 million in 2014 to Dominion, and they paid in October, I believe it was October of 2020, another $400 million put into this company. So we have clear evidence of a foreign interference, which is all the president's executive order describes. That's the executive order from 2018. He reinstituted it in 2019. He reinstituted it again in 2020. And so we are essentially in a national emergency that the president has already declared. He just has to decide whether to execute some of those procedures that are within his authority. So we have foreign interference from China. We have foreign interference from Serbia. We have foreign interference from Italy, from Spain, from Germany. And then on the 30th of October, 2020, so a couple of days before the 3rd of November election. And then on the 3rd of November, the FBI and CISA, which is that guy Krebs, right? Krebs, who came out and said, hey, there's no foreign interference at all, about a week after the election. CISA is a Homeland Security cybersecurity agency. On the 30th of October, 2020, and on the 3rd of November, both in what's called a joint intelligence advisory, the FBI and CISA issued an advisory saying that Iran is mucking around in our election system. They were doing it on the 3rd of November, which is the day of the election. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security both said there's foreign interference in our election on election day by the country of Iran. So for anybody to say that we haven't had foreign interference is full of it. There is our U.S. government agencies, whether you want to trust the FBI or not. I have my doubts about the FBI.
But regardless, General, we, as you said, we have them claiming that Russians got Trump elected with no evidence. Now we have the EU, the Communist Chinese, Iran, with these Confucius Institutes and all the, I mean, hell, China tells Hollywood what they can put in movies now.
Yeah.
And they're all...
China actually owns Hollywood. They own Hollywood.
Speak to that, please.
The level of influence inside and the ownership, I mean, just the flat out ownership. You know, if people knew what the Chinese party, basically the Chinese government, was doing inside of this country for, frankly, the last 30 years. I mean, it's astounding inside of our academic institutions. It's in our banking systems, in our tech systems, and in our Hollywood, within Hollywood or in our movie-making capabilities. So when you begin to look at, and I would call it the real estate. So if you look at what real estate is being purchased by China, it exists in all walks of America's life. And I think the Hollywood component of it is a big deal. All you got to do is look at some of these big companies that are living in Fulton County, Atlanta. Okay, so why is Fulton County, Atlanta such a big deal right now? Why is there so much scrutiny being paid on Fulton County, Atlanta, which is one of the largest voting counties in the country? In fact, Fulton County, Maricopa County, and Wayne County up in Michigan, Maricopa County in Arizona, those are the top voting counties in the country. This election and what we know the Chinese party has done, not since Donald Trump came into office, but probably for the last 30 years, certainly since the mid-90s, since the Clinton era of the mid-90s, and what they have been doing. When you think about it, and I'll just talk about our academic institutions. When you think about our colleges and universities, graduate and undergraduate, they've been sending upwards of about 300,000 students a year into our institutions. Those are just students. They come here for 1 year, they go back home. They come here for another year, they go back home, they graduate, and they graduate in the science, technology, engineering, and math arenas. They're not keeping that intellect here. They're taking it right back home, and they've been doing it for decades.
So they stole our brain trust. The system moved heaven and earth to falsely indict you, to keep you from giving Trump good, patriotic, yeah, pro-American advice. Yeah. Because you were somebody that believed in America and you were not a traitor. So now they try to silence you, they fail. You've come through the fire as a phoenix. What is your advice right now to President Trump and the American people, regardless of what happens in the next 15 days?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to silence you for a reason, because they knew you were a real person who cared about America, yeah, and cared about truth. So General Flynn, they want to silence you. Have your voice here.
Pieces of the conversation that I had with Donald Trump the day that he called me up about the pardon. He says, you're the cleanest guy in America. He says, you're probably the cleanest guy in the world. And I said, no, Donald, you're the cleanest guy in the world, because they have dug into your rear end so far and they found nothing. And I said, I know what they would have found in my life, and it's nothing. You know, it may be some ugly fight that I get in when I was a kid in high school with a guy like you sometimes, you know. I don't know if I'd take you on.
You probably made me
on. I'm being a little facetious about that, but that was part of it, was that they dug into my life so far back, and I'm talking about back years.
Oh, I know. I've gone through it too.
This isn't just started in 2017 or when the president won the last election.
They go interview everybody you do in high school.
Everybody. Yeah, yeah. So they looked into every single part of my life. They were listening to all my communications. They were watching all my texts, looking at all my bank accounts, everything. They found nothing. What they knew is that I knew what they knew, okay? And I think that's a powerful statement, actually.
Say that again. Exactly. Yeah. What they knew.
What they knew is what I know what they know, okay? I mean, essentially, how this system operates. When Chuck Schumer said that the intel about Donald Trump, and he said that they have six ways to Sunday, right? The intelligence community have six ways to Sunday to basically screw you. Then that ought to send a message. That ought to send a chill down everybody's spine, right? In this country. That should never be the case. Yet that is in fact the case. And it's still the case to some degree. So what we're facing is institutions in this country that have lost sight of who they work for. They work for the American people. They work for we the people. They don't work for the institution. But that's what this town has become. So why we call this the swamp, why we call this the deep state, the amount of corruption that we are now seeing that has been exposed by this election is outrageous. It's despicable. And just to give you one little example, because it outraged me today, and I've already spoken to a couple of different people about this today. Everybody knows about Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri.
They came to his house.
So Josh Hawley's back in the state of Missouri. He's doing a little campaigning back there. And he's got kind of whatever he's doing. He's getting a read of how the people of Missouri feel before he comes to, back tonight. Well, his family, and they probably don't even want me talking about it because they're so private, but his family, his wife, young wife, pregnant. Here we got Antifa pounding on her door, basically attacking her home.
Terrorist.
She's in terrorist, you know, terrorizing a United States senator and his family because he's standing up for the Constitution. So even though I might be sitting right now, my stand is for the Constitution. My stand is for this country. Back to your question. What about Donald Trump? You know, honestly, at the end of the day, I think the guy's terrific. He's been a great president. He's basically tried to follow. He's tried to he has tried to meet every promise that he has stated. But I don't really care about Donald Trump.
I agree.
At this stage, it's not about him anymore. This is about the presidency of this country. This is about the Constitution of this country. For the Supreme Court to fail to act, to abdicate their responsibility like they did with the Texas lawsuit that they said there's no standing.
Because Trump, when they ganged up on you through the wolves, he's a good guy, but you're saying it's totally true.
Yeah.
It's about our institutions. Yeah. It's about the Republic.
If there was a person who could be vindictive against Donald Trump, you're looking at him. I mean, I could stand all day and go, that son of a gun, you know, look at what he did to me. It's not Donald Trump that did it. It's these institutions.
They bullied him into it.
And it's the last, they didn't bully him. It's the last administration that lied to him. And the last administration set him up through a variety of little deceitful, you know, plays that they had in this little game that they're playing, which is a big game. And it's all about access to power and basically ruling this country. So Donald Trump coming into the presidency the last go around, I don't believe he realized that it was this bad. But it's this bad.
He said that. He said, I can't believe it's this bad.
Russiagate was false. The impeachment was false. You know, we won't get into a conversation about COVID. Maybe we'll talk about that another time.
No, get into it right now.
But this whole
thing. I got to leave in 10 minutes, but to finish, tell us.
Well, if I walk out the door, I got to put my mask on because apparently the door blocks COVID. But I got to put my mask on if I walk out the door. But if I sit down today with you here, I don't have to wear my mask. So there's something weird about it. At 10 o'clock at night in the restaurants that I go to, the restaurants close at 10 o'clock. Why? Because COVID comes out at 10 o'clock? I mean, the stupidity.
It's about arbitrary power.
It's huge arbitrary power. And I think that when we look back, because in the next 4 years, Trump is going to continue to be the president. So what priorities does he set to really take a hard look at, you know, in addition to making sure that the world stays peaceful, but also creating an economy that we're all, you know.
And by the way, General Flynn, I've not been in the military like you, not highly decorated like you, and I get you're in a war, you got to wave the flag to get people to like fight,
right.
or if they collapse, we're going to lose. And I agree, Trump won by 2, 3, 4, 5 margins. He barely won those battleground states.
Trump probably got somewhere between 350 and 400 electoral college votes.
Exactly.
No kidding.
It was a massive landslide because when they froze the votes that night on I guess going in the morning of November 4th, he wasn't winning by half a point like he won last time. It was 3, 4, 5, 6 points.
That's right.
So I get what you're saying. But regardless, they are selling this giant fraud. They're selling this huge takeover. And so for me, when you talk about Trump as our president, you're right.
Alex, he did they're win. They're censoring the president of the United States of America. I mean, who does? What country does
Senate,
that?
Senate hearings on election fraud are censored. I agree. That's not even censorship. That's
we don't
cartel.
This is January 5th, the night of January. We're about to go into another one of these constitutional dates, January 6th tomorrow. And we still don't have an outcome for the United States of America to not have the outcome of an election for our ability, all the capabilities that we have. I have actually been part of taking over countries or running elections in countries, in other countries around the world, where we say, hey, be more like us, act more like us. In fact, we're going to show you how to do an election
in
your country, Iraq, in your country, Afghanistan, in your country, name the Central American country in the 80s and the 90s. So anyway, this is embarrassing.
No, I totally agree with you. And under the U.S. law, under the State Department, under the U.N., if they're not poll watchers, if there's not, you redo the election. So what do you think President Trump should do? What should we, the people, do with 15 days out from this communist Chinese agent Joe Biden trying to install?
Well, one of the potential outcomes of tomorrow is a 10-day pause, which is very possible coming out. It's a 10-day pause for a select number of states to do a recount, to retally, and not just do what Georgia did the first time around, which is take a bunch of phony ballots and run them through the machines and you get the same outcome, but actually look at the ballots and making sure that those ballots are constitutional, that they're not backdated like we had backdated ballots, I think, in Michigan.
Or signatures.
Or dead voters. It's like I said to one U.S. senator, is one dead voter okay? Because I've buried soldiers before, and I'm telling you, those soldiers that I buried, they wouldn't want to have one dead voter count for anything.
Oh, they'd hate to have somebody voting in their name.
But if we talk about like Pennsylvania, the number of dead voters that voted in Pennsylvania are more people than are buried in the Gettysburg National Battleground. I mean, just think about that. For 7,500 people are buried in Gettysburg, right? One of the most famous battles of our Civil War. And we have more dead voters in Pennsylvania than are buried there. That's insane. How do we allow ourselves to get there? Wisconsin has, according to a member of Congress from that state, they have 242,000 fraudulent votes. So what are you going to do about it there, Senator or Congressman? I mean, why aren't they throwing them out? Well, I mean, it's the court doesn't want bullshit. The courts are not what is going to win this thing. Okay, it's
I agree. It's all will. It's political because I saw Cotton, who I think is the overall good guy, Senator Cotton of Arkansas. He goes, oh, well, we can't have overriding the states. Well, why is it in the Constitution?
3 days ago, Tom Cotton came out and said, hey, I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to stand up for the president on the 6th. Okay? 3 days ago. I think it was Saturday. Yeah. And I think it was either last night or the night before last. All of a sudden, he switches. Why? I mean, what happened to Tom
Cotton? Well, he got taken up on the mountain.
I'm a big fan of his. Exactly. What was he told on top of the mountain?
But let's talk about the Constitution just briefly. Then you got to go. We'll finish this up, General Flynn. This is an amazing interview. Three branches co-equal legislative.
Okay, so let's talk about that because I know the direction you're going to go.
My point is, this is
super important. We have three co-equal branches of government. Okay, but if you read the Constitution, there's one person that gets voted on by the majority of people in this country.
President.
That's the President of the United States.
He's the leader.
When the president puts his hand on the Bible, when he takes his oath of office, there's only one person in this country that takes that oath of office.
I agree. It's not a unitary executive. The president has like 1% above it.
The president of the United States, so you have three co-equal branches, but the president is actually, he's not a branch. He is a person voted on by the majority of this country. And it's not by happenstance that the oath of office that the president of the United States takes, if you go back and you look at the founding fathers and the arguments that they had actually, and for those that want to dig into it, it's Federalist Paper number 73. And you look at it as to why they chose those words. Because the President of the United States has a responsibility to protect the Constitution. Everybody else can scream about it. The courts can say, we're not going to do anything about it like the Supreme Court did. But the President has the responsibility, the duty, and the authority to act. And it's above the others because there's something called national security. And national security, for all intents and purposes, is the responsibility of one person, and that's the United States president.
And that's the will at the moment of the attack.
Exactly.
That's why you have the president as the new coach, because you can't have Congress have a vote.
And everybody around the president is trying to tell him what to do. Everybody is trying to tell him what to do. And the president has to stand there in his own boots, like Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or other presidents that we've had in our history who have had to make incredibly, incredibly difficult decisions. He is in one of those moments, I call it a crucible moment in the history of this country. Unprecedented. Donald Trump is standing in those shoes, and he's standing in those shoes by himself.
And that's why you were there a few weeks ago, and they desperately try to keep him from the president, because it's true. It's a Chi-Com globalist takeover, and the president is standing at that moment in history, not as an authoritarian, as a liberator.
They don't care that they got caught either. So that's the other thing about this. It's like when people in this country, they can't fathom what's happened. They kind of look at it and they go, oh my God, what's going on? I don't want to lose hope. These people don't care that they got caught. And you know why they don't care? Because nobody's ever held them accountable.
I agree.
For anything.
They've never gotten in trouble.
For anything.
That's the key. No retribution.
That's right.
No accountability. So how do we hold them accountable, General Flynn?
So, this president's going to continue on in office. They do not want that to happen. They're going to try every damn thing that they can. The intimidation tactics that we saw against Josh Hawley's wife is just a scratching of the surface. The kind of stuff that we see with, let's talk about my little buddy, Representative Swalwell, okay?
Chinese agent.
Wow, wow, big time. He's a member of the Intelligence Committee. He's been for 4 years bashing the president for treason. The kind of language that he used against me and my family. And this son of a gun is sleeping with the enemy. Because you know what? He's got no morals. And frankly, the spies that sucked him in because of his weak fiber, they know he's got that they have no morals as well. That's how they operate. So I bring up Swalwell, just like I look at what they did to the United States Senator and his family in terms of an intimidation tactic. They don't care if they got caught. You think the Chinese cared that Swalwell got caught? Ha! In fact, maybe he got caught because it was a diversion. I say that we're scratching the surface, and I know this. We're scratching the surface with the type of infiltration that we have in all of our...
So, General, we're at war with Communist China. We're at war with the globalists. And Americans better understand, if Joe Biden gets in, he wants to put his foot on our neck forever.
If we allow a lie to take us into our future, we will never have the constitutional republic that we have right now. I mean, these demonstrations and peaceful protests that are happening right outside the window here, all of these people from all across the country, and frankly, I know that there's actually people from all across the world that showed up for this historic moment. Everybody knows that there's this fleeting thing called democracy, and it's the idea of the United States of America. When we created this thing 242 or 47 years ago, it was created on an idea. Wasn't perfect. In fact, the founders knew it wasn't perfect, but they said, we're going to get it as close to perfect as possible. They studied every aspect of human history, every aspect of the failures of nation states, and they said, this is how we're going to do this. We are going to, you know, form a more perfect union. We're going to have this beautiful thing called the Bill of Rights. So when they did that, they knew, and they had the vision, thank God. I mean, most of these guys, Thomas Jefferson was probably the oldest one. He was 33 years old. Most of these guys were in their 20s. People think they were a bunch of old guys sitting around with wigs on their heads, right? These guys were young men, and they had fought tyranny, and they had decided that they wanted to sacrifice their lives in order to have this kind of an idea. And so here we are, 250 years later, and we're fighting still for something that they knew we were going to have to fight for.
And General Flynn, can you not feel the energy outside?
Oh, absolutely.
It makes me tears my eyes. So in closing,
absolutely. Yeah,
this is a movement. This is about humanity. This is about human empowerment, and it's happening.
These people are modern day patriots. So I think it's going to be 5 million people here tomorrow. I mean, they say a million man. I think there's going to be millions of people here today or tomorrow. Actually, there's probably a million out there now, all up and down the mall.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. People are, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So these are people that are modern day patriots. Now, the one thing that I do know is that, and you're looking at somebody that, you know, in a way, I didn't get into politics because I'm a politician. I get into politics because I care about the future of the country. I saw the country going towards socialism while I was in uniform. So that's why I felt so strongly about getting involved in the political process, because I knew if we went a different direction, we wouldn't have this conversation today.
And that's my point. Whatever happens to Trump, he is the president. He did win. Whatever they do, and I get in a war, we've got to be confident and say Trump's the winner. He is the winner.
Yeah.
But regardless, America is awake. We rejected Joe Biden. If they're able to stick him in there, yeah, I see it defeating them even worse. I'm not trying to get ready for a Joe Biden presidency. I'm just saying, talk about an occupational government. Talk about like the Vichy French. Yeah. Talk about like some puppet. I mean, this doesn't work.
Well, had we not defeated Adolf Hitler, we'd all be kneeling at the altar of Nazism. Okay, that wasn't that many years ago. Okay, 75 years ago, right? 1945 is when the war ended. The United States of America was only involved in a real big physical way for only 2.5 years. We think it was, you know, lasted for decades. The war actually did last for decades, but when we entered to win. The patriots that are standing out there know that we won. They know that we won. And so what they're saying, what they're telling Washington, D.C., what they're telling their federally elected representatives, the members of the House and the members of the Senate, is that we're here to tell you that you better follow the truth. because the truth is what is going to come out one way or the other. And if you want to be on the other side of the truth, you know, then woe betide you, because I'm going to tell you, these people are not going to settle for something that was a lie. They're just not. I mean, I can feel it. You can feel it. The million people that are out there on Tuesday night in the rain, they feel it. They feel it. The millions and millions of people around this country, they feel it.
Well, General Flynn, I saw you in speeches with Trump in closing, and they were always great speeches, but you seem to be on fire. Seems like you're just being yourself now. You're all out.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Hell, I waited 4 years. I suffered for 4 years, you know, and actually, when people say to me, you know, I feel so sorry for you, I tell them, don't feel sorry for me. Don't have any pity on me. Feel sorry for this country, because look at what they've done. Look at what they did to me to take me away from being able to do something I'm very capable of doing. Look at what they did to the president of the United States, and they're still doing to him. This fraudulent election is only, it's basically another stage in this effort to get rid of, to get rid of somebody who stepped in their way and got in their way to take power from them for a period of time. They want power back.
Exactly. It's not that Trump means well. He's not perfect, neither am I or you, that he was actually being the president. And they're mad that, like, no, you're not the president. This bureaucracy is.
Right, right. And that's what people in Washington, D.C. have forgotten, is that, and I said it earlier, these are people that are here in these institutions, and they actually think that they come to work every day and they work for the institution. They don't work for the institution. All these bureaucrats here in Washington, D.C., And you know, I hope I'm looking at a lot of them. I hope a lot of them, because they know, a lot of them know me. And they know that, I call them wall walkers in some cases, because they walk along the walls and they don't want to be bothered. They just want to come into work and leave work, and nobody's going to task them for anything. Okay? The institutions work for the American people. And that's what we have forgotten in this country. These institutions of government, these institutions of power, It has been going on for a long time, Alex, and you could say, well, we've had these kind of examples for a long time. And that's true. That's true. But all of a sudden, it's now been exposed in such a way, and there's a takeover of our country by these institutions and by these powers outside of our country.
They've sold us out to China and others. It's terrible. They think they own us. We're saying, no, you don't own us.
You don't own us. There's a DNA in the American psyche and in the American culture that still exists, and that DNA goes all the way back to 1776.
Well, you're about to give a big speech out here to this million-person crowd. General Flynn, amazing meeting you in person. God bless you.
Thanks.
I really appreciate you, General. That was amazing.
We're going to arm wrestle.
Yeah, don't do that. You'll beat me. Hey, but seriously, this is what it's all about.
This guy.
And no one ever wants to do this, because people like you, you should write a book.
Yeah.
I would definitely read that book, and you should, because I get it. You do these interviews, you're selfless. But where do people visit you? Website, book, where?
Well, here's what I would say to people. If they want to help this cause, you go to defendingtherepublic.org. Defendingtherepublic.org. And that's Miss Sidney Powell's fighting. She's
amazing.
Client, Sidney Powell's client, is the American people. And that's why I'm here too, because she helped me, and I'm gonna stand right by her side, and we're gonna-
And Americans shouldn't run from those that are attacked,
right,
like you or I.
So be fearless.
No, whoever's being attacked is so good.
Right, right.
We love you, General.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Great job, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, I really appreciate it.
Yep.
Amazing interview, thank you.
Awesome, that's good.
I'll see you out there in the speech, sir.
Come and hug.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Within hours of the riot at the U.S. Capitol last week, in case you weren't watching, we denounced the violence we saw in the clearest possible terms. We did it for one reason. We are totally opposed to political violence. We said that virtually every night for the past 6 months since the riots that began on Memorial Day. We meant it then, we mean it now. Every person who broke the law last Wednesday should be prosecuted. Vandalize a building, hurt a cop, go to jail. That's our position. That has always been our position. This show is for law and order, period. Many of those currently in power are not. They believe instead in selective enforcement. Selective enforcement is not law and order. It is the opposite. Laws must be applied equally to every citizen, or else they are not laws. They are the whims of a tyrant. Punish the guilty, spare the innocent. That is the most basic definition of justice, but that is not what's happening now. The crackdown on civil liberties we've watched over the past 5 days amounts instead to collective punishment. People who had nothing to do with the violence in the U.S. Capitol are being punished for that violence. And that is repugnant and immoral and anti-American. It should shock our sensibilities. It shocks Alexei Navalny. Navalny is the Russian dissident who was poisoned last year, apparently by the Putin government. He's watched the recent crackdown in this country by Joe Biden and his allies in big business and big tech with growing concern and then horror. Here's his conclusion, quote, "We have seen many examples in Russia and in China of such private companies becoming the state's best friends and enablers when it comes to censorship. This precedent will be exploited by the enemies of freedom of speech around the world," end quote. So even in Russia, they know what's happening here is dangerous and it's wrong, because it is. In the past 5 days, PayPal, which keep in mind is supposed to be a payment processor, not a political party or a law enforcement agency, PayPal suspended the account of a group that paid for Trump supporters to travel to Washington last week. Now, it's not clear that any of these people participated in illegal acts. We do not know. But they were shut down anyway for their political views. It's not an isolated case. It's happening all over. It happened to performer Ariel Pink. Pink made the mistake of listening to the president's address on Wednesday. Pink says he didn't get anywhere near the Capitol. He went to his hotel and fell asleep. And no one has suggested otherwise. But for the crime of attending a political rally, Pink was punished. He was promptly dropped from his record label. He's done. Now it's possible he might not be able to fly on airplanes. A flight attendants union has demanded banning all, quote, insurrectionists from flying commercially anywhere in the United States. So the question is, and everything hangs on this definition, what's an insurrectionist? Well, according to a letter from Democrats in Congress, it is anyone who sympathizes with what happened on Wednesday. Think about that. Now, you can oppose what happened at the Capitol, and for the 15th time, we do oppose it loudly, have and will. And you can still see this development for what it is. It's terrifying lunacy. But no one is pushing back against it. Instead, the biggest corporations in this country, the ones that control your checking account, the ones that control your health care, whether you live or die, have decided to radically expand the definition of what is now illegal. Insurrection, according to this new definition, means questioning any part of last November's election. So you thought that your birthright as an American was the right to ask questions, but not anymore. That's now a crime. Consider this, among many examples. A total of 139 Republicans in the House of Representatives objected to the certification of Joe Biden's victory. They were joined by several Republicans in the Senate. They called instead for an audit of the election results. Now, here's what they didn't do. They did not urge anyone to commit violence. They did not support the people who stormed the Capitol building. For our part, we did not promote their cause on this show. We had mixed feelings about it. On the other hand, we didn't denounce them as insurrectionists because they weren't and they aren't. Except now they are. And that definition has huge consequences, not just for them, but for the country. You'll notice the definition of insurrection has changed quite a bit in just 4 years. Here's what insurrection looked like right after the 2016 election.
Mr. President, I object to the certificate from the state of Georgia on the grounds that the electoral votes were not...
There's no debate. Section 15 and 17 of Title III of the United States Code require that any objection be presented in writing, signed by both a member of the House of Representatives and a senator.
Mr. President, even as people waited hours in Georgia...
There's no debate. And if there's not signed by a senator, the objection cannot be entertained.
Now, you may not remember that because not much happened in its aftermath. No major corporation threatened to destroy anyone for that insurrection. They've changed. In the past few days, Blue Cross Blue Shield, JP Morgan Chase, Marriott, Citigroup, Commerce Bank, not small companies, have all cut off donations to Republicans who objected in any way to this year's election results. Companies like Dow, AT&T, Morgan Stanley announced today they will do the same. Here's how Citibank's head of global affairs explained this move, quote, "We want you to be assured that we will not support candidates who do not respect the rule of law." Now, if that sounds like a brand new standard, of course it is. And by the way, it does not apply to any Democrat, and that's all of them, who support flagrantly illegal sanctuary cities all over the country. Talk about an attack on the rule of law, but that doesn't count. Forbes magazine, meanwhile, wants to make certain that no one who worked in the Trump administration will ever have a job again. Quote, "Let it be known to the business world," announced the magazine's editor. "Hire any of Trump's fellow fabulists and Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie." In other words, dare to hire someone from the presidential administration, as many thousands of people, and we will destroy your business. That's healthy and normal? You want your country to fall apart completely? Keep up fascist insanity like that, because it definitely will. The irony, of course, is that the Biden era, which you probably didn't welcome, was at the very least supposed to be a return to normal. That was the upside. But it turns out this is the new normal. Silencing, blacklists, social credit scores, threats. It's almost boring at this point to point out the steaming hypocrisy in all of this, and we'll stop after tonight, but just for the record, we can't resist. 6 months after Donald Trump's election, Nancy Pelosi wrote this on Twitter, quote, "Our election was hijacked. There is no question. Congress has a duty to hashtag protect our democracy and hashtag follow the facts. Insurrection? No." A month later, a Bernie Sanders voter tried to murder congressional Republicans, office holders, with a rifle at a baseball practice in Arlington, Virginia. He almost succeeded. He shot Steve Scalise, almost killed him. Yet none of these same corporations, these morally aware corporations, suspended donations to Bernie Sanders or to Nancy Pelosi. And by the way, they shouldn't have, because Pelosi and Sanders didn't pull the trigger. But they didn't even consider it, nor did they issue statements about respecting the rule of law or threaten Nancy Pelosi's fabulous with never working again in America. These same companies indeed remained quiet all last summer after BLM set fire to the ancient Episcopal church in front of the White House and then drove the president of the United States into an underground bunker with violence. They said nothing. They said nothing when rioters destroyed a police precinct in Minneapolis, or in fact, the whole downtown of that city, or when they besieged a federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon, or established their own country, a breakaway republic in downtown Seattle, and shot a guy in the middle of it. That's not entirely true. They did comment on it in some ways. They approved of it. Citibank, 3 months later, gave the rioters money. Citi created a $1 billion fund for racial equity. Go ahead and define that term. Some enterprising progressives established something called the Minnesota Freedom Fund. That raised tens of millions of dollars to bail out the violent rioters, the insurrectionists. Big tech and Democratic Party politicians, including Kamala Harris, supported that fund. Oh, the insurrectionists, they supported them. We were against that kind of crap then. We're completely against it now. But from their perspective, violence and insurrection are not necessarily bad. It's a situational thing, kind of situational ethics. You remember that from the 60s. So when our side does it, it's a good thing, because the arc of justice is long. But when the other side does it, we unleash the FBI to conduct one of the biggest manhunts in recent history. So we're all Roger Stone now, everyone on the wrong side of that equation. But actually, it's worse than that, if we're going to be honest. And we don't want to be alarmist. But the hair on your arms is already standing up, because you can feel that this is bad, because it is. Something bigger is happening here, something we've never seen in the full course of American history. Created a $1 billion fund for racial equity. Go ahead and define that term. Some enterprising progressives established something called the Minnesota Freedom Fund. That raised tens of millions of dollars to bail out the violent rioters, the insurrectionists. Big tech and Democratic Party politicians, including Kamala Harris, supported that fund. Oh, the insurrectionists, they supported them. We were against that kind of crap then. We're completely against it now. But from their perspective, violence and insurrection are not necessarily bad. It's a situational thing, kind of situational ethics. You remember that from the 60s. So when our side does it, it's a good thing, because the arc of justice is long. But when the other side does it, we unleash the FBI to conduct one of the biggest manhunts in recent history. So we're all Roger Stone now, everyone on the wrong side of that equation. But actually, it's worse than that, if we're going to be honest. And we don't want to be alarmist. But the hair on your arms is already standing up, because you can feel that this is bad. Because it is. Something bigger is happening here, something we've never seen in the full course of American history. Corporations, which are now more powerful than they have ever been, ever, are colluding with one another and with the political class to silence any opposition, not to some ideal, they don't have those, but to their rule. Huh. This is not what we were promised. The election is over. You thought things would calm down. Again, even if you voted against Joe Biden, you thought they would calm down. No chance. That's one campaign promise they didn't intend to keep. Why? Because calm doesn't serve their purposes. Most people, most normal people in this country would like a placid political environment, but they don't benefit from that because their coalition has nothing in common with one another. They need an enemy to unite them, period. And so they're going to keep torquing up the pressure. How much pressure can our society take before it breaks? They may find out. Here's the president-elect, Mr. Unity, comparing his opponents in the Senate to Nazis.
They're part of the big lie. The big lie. I was being reminded by a friend of mine. Maybe you were with me, I can't recall, when we're told that, you know, Goebbels and the great lie, you keep repeating the lie, repeating the lie.
Not even pronouncing the name correctly, of course. But the broader point is, how dare you talk like that? You're the president-elect, and you're comparing people who disagree with you or have questions about the campaign or oppose your agenda to Nazis? What's your message? They're not human, they're Nazis. You play with fire when you talk like that. People are going to get hurt if we keep this up. Nancy Pelosi plans to keep it up. Nancy Pelosi is not calling for unity. She doesn't want unity. Instead, she's leveling the most divisive attack you can make, and that's a racial attack. The real problem with Trump voters, she explained the other day, is the color of their skin. Listen.
There are people in our country led by this president, for the moment, who have chosen their whiteness over democracy.
That tape should live forever. When Donald Trump said, yeah, people should go to the Capitol, we thought that was reckless and we said so. Because we want to be Americans and responsible before anything else. So we were honest about that. Nancy Pelosi just attacked people who oppose her agenda for the color of their skin, their whiteness. What the hell does that mean? What does talk like that do to our country? What it does is send a very clear message. Anyone who disagrees with Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi is a Nazi or a white supremacist or just white, which is the same thing. They're not Americans. They don't have human rights. They have no right to speak or to fly or to use banks or to hold jobs. Where's this going, thinking like that? It's poison. We'll tell you where it's going. It's going wherever corporate America wants it to go because they're in charge, effectively. Corporations are fully aligned. This has never happened in our country. They are fully aligned with a political party. How much distance between the Biden campaign and Google, the most powerful company in the world? Right around none. So publicly held multinationals like Facebook and Twitter and Google can do whatever they want. And what they want to do is become partisan actors. They've silenced Donald Trump. Okay. They will silence you if you dare dissent. Make no mistake. Republicans should have seen this coming. It's not like it was a mystery. Democrats never hid their intent. Here's Kamala Harris saying it out loud from a debate stage.
Senator Warren, I just want to say that I was surprised to hear that you did not agree with me that on this subject of what should be the rules around corporate responsibility for these big tech companies, when I called on Twitter to suspend Donald Trump's account, that you did not agree, and I would urge you to join me.
So, look, I don't just want to push Donald Trump off Twitter. I want to push him out of the White House. That's our job.
So join but me, the way, will. Join but me the, in saying that his Twitter account should be shut down. Now.
Anyone who says the other side must be forced to stop talking is a threat to our freedoms, period. If you don't like what someone says, explain why and win people over voluntarily. That's what the democratic system is at its core. Anyone who says I will use the power of the state, of Google, to make the other side shut up, again, is a threat to your freedom. By the way, this is also illegal, baldly illegal. The coordination between these companies violates the most basic tenet of antitrust law. When monopolies conspire to suppress competition and hurt consumers, it's not even a close call. They are breaking the law, period. And it doesn't matter if no one in Washington is brave enough to say that out loud, it doesn't make it less true. And that's exactly what they're doing, and the evidence mounts. This weekend, Amazon, Facebook, Google, Apple openly coordinated, set their sites on the social media app Parler, and booted it off the internet. And not just them. According to CEO of Parler, John Matzy, quote, every vendor from text message services to email providers to our lawyers ditched us on the same day. Whoa, imagine that. You wake up and you're suddenly unpopular with the wrong person and you can't communicate and you have no legal representation and you can't fly in an airplane and you can't put your money in a bank. On what grounds did they do this to Parler? What did Parler do wrong? Well, we still don't know. No one has bothered to explain that. Not one person in law enforcement or the media has shown any connection between any of the criminals caught on camera at the Capitol building, you've seen them, and Parler. Parler committed no crimes. So why are they gone? Well, conservatives speak to each other on Parler, and that's dangerous. So they were banned. Yesterday, the left shut Parler down. They did it a lot of different ways, but here's the way that you should think about most deeply. Amazon, biggest retailer in the world, also controls the largest collection of servers in the world. It's called Amazon Web Services. Now, a huge percentage of the internet flows through Amazon servers, and that means everything, both good and bad. Digital Mozart recordings and hardcore pornography, Bible verses and invoices for illegal shipments of fentanyl. All of that and much more, in fact, almost everything, is hosted on Amazon servers. So until yesterday, no one imagined that Jeff Bezos could decide who gets to speak on the internet. That's too much power for one man, no? Can we agree? We thought the left would agree with that, but they don't. No one thought that Jeff Bezos could silence an entire political movement in an instant simply because he thought they were expressing inconvenient views. But last night, that's exactly what Jeff Bezos did, and Parler went dark. Whoa. What's next?